Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
If you are a Bears fan, you are asking, what the hell was that? For being one of the best defenses in the National Football League, Akeem Hicks or no Akeem Hicks, that was atrocious. The Packers destroy the Chicago Bears. Now the score, the final 41-25, nowhere near indicative as to the way the game actually went. Nowhere near. Packers get a win in dominating fashion. Yeah, they had a couple of hiccups defensively, but for the most part, the Green Bay Packers rolled on. They now sit at 8-3 on the season in the NFC. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson alongside Aaron Rodgers tonight, 21 of 29, a short 211 yards, but he goes over 50,000 yards for his career, only 11th player in NFL history to do so, throws four touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 132.3. Aaron Jones tonight, by the way, he ends up with 91 total yards, 17 carries. Jamal Williams, 17 carries, 73 yards. Aaron Rodgers ran the ball a couple of times, scrambled. Aaron Jones, a couple of targets, one catch, stymied at the line of scrimmage. But it was the Robert Tonyan and Devontae Adams show tonight. Between them, they racked up 28 yards in tonight's contest and a couple of touchdowns. Alan Lazard gets into the end zone. Mercedes Lewis gets into the end zone. Jamal Williams runs one into the end zone. I mean, this was about as thorough a beatdown and a dominating performance out of the offensive line as I can remember a long, long, long time. So, welcome one, welcome all. The Green and Gold postgame show is on the air. If you want to hit us up, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout because I want to get your reaction to what you witnessed tonight. Now, some are going to say, you know what, this is a beatdown, it's the Bears, they're a terrible team. But this defense is a good defense, no doubt about it. And you just came off of a performance by losing to Indianapolis 34-31, in which you put up points, but your defense wasn't able to hold. But in one quarter, it ended up costing you not being able to consistently finish out a ballgame against good defenses. Tonight, you faced a good defense. What does tonight's contest tell you, if anything, about this Green Bay Packers football team? Packers 41-25 win. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to join the network. Stay right where you're at. The Packers garnered the 100th win in this series. And did they just stick the nail in the coffin for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? Stay tuned. Got a whole lot more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up right after this.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
41-25, it was a beatdown. The score wasn't nearly as close as what the actual game was. The Packers thoroughly whipped a good defense in the Chicago Bears. We wondered what it was going to say about this team coming off of the loss against a good Indianapolis Colts front, defensive front, and the Packers throttled them. They beat them up in a lot of different ways. I like the domination of the offensive line tonight. One injury to discuss, that was Corey Linsley, who went down with a knee injury. Kind of just got rolled up on it, just dropped like a sack of wet cement, unfortunately. But a solid job by Elkin Jenkins. Again, John Runyon comes in, and they solidified things, and the Packers go on to roll. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson alongside. And, Gary, what I was looking for things in this game where I thought, okay, let's see if the Packers can win in the trenches. They won on offense in the trenches. Defensively, and it wasn't great, but, you know, for the most part, you know, they did what they were supposed to do. It drives me nuts to see them on third and short backing the defensive backs way beyond the sticks, basically giving up a first down and playing that god-awful prevent defense. But you get a win, you're 8-3, you do it offensively in dominating fashion, and you move on. What'd you take away from this one?
Well, it's to be expected, right? I mean, all the things that you just talked about. I mean, we expect for them to do that against a Chicago Bears team that's not very good. And I don't know, Bill. I don't want to pour water. I mean, the fire's hot for the Packers, and I don't want to pour water on it. But I just come in with this feeling of a win's a win, and I get it. But I still have this feeling of you go to Indianapolis and you get your butt kicked and against a pretty good football team. And now Indianapolis lost today. And I think if you're a Packer fan, you're just trying to measure where your team is. And, you know, right, had they lost, you'd have been extremely upset. But they won a game that they should have won handily against a team that's been searching for a quarterback for the last 25 years. You know, and you ultimately you're trying to win a Super Bowl. I mean, I think that's where we're trying to get to. And you're looking for those games that signify that you're a Super Bowl team. The NFC right now, I think, is down. I mean, you can look at it, point to the Kansas City game today. They just throttle
Tampa Bay. They beat up Tampa Bay bad.
Right. And so, you look at the Rams. They lose against San Francisco. But, you know, mm-hmm. I think that could be more so like a rivalry game out there to me. So, I don't know if I take much stock in that, but you're just trying to find a measuring stick. Like, is your team good enough to get to the Super Bowl, or is it a team? And I think this is what it is, but it feels like it's a team that's going to go to the playoffs, and they could be one and done in the playoffs, and mm-hmm. or they could make it to the Super Bowl. I think the NFC is just that wide open. Tampa Bay didn't prove anything today, right? The Rams most certainly didn't prove anything today. So I think when you start looking at those, you know, four or five, Arizona loses today against, a New England Patriots team. So, I mean, it's still wide open, but you're trying to figure out if this is a Super Bowl team. And, yeah, it is, but it's nothing solid and concrete. Does that am I crazy?
No, I completely agree with you. I was just asked this tonight. I'm sitting here watching this game, and I said the Packers are a team that's going to go anywhere from 14-2, or excuse me, 12-4,
yeah,
or 13-3, one of the
yeah.
two.
Yeah,
and they're going to get a high seed, whether or not. You know, it is what it is. Whether or not they get the high seed and the home field advantage throughout, whatever.
Right.
But when you look at this team, you say, okay, can they get there? If the offense is clicking, yeah. If it's not, no. Can they win one or two games in the postseason? Yeah. But will they win the NFC Championship game? And you're basically like, no. You know, right now, I think a lot of people are like, until you do, prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that's it. I mean, that's where we're at.
Yeah, yeah, and I think I may be there in that boat. It's just so tough, right? We've had, I hate doing this, we've had 28 years close of this, of this, I'm meaning, you know, 15-1, 12-4s, 13-3s. Well, we just fell short. I mean, Bill, I think back to the Brett Favre and New York Giants there at Lambeau Field, where he throws that, you know, Favre throws that football to the inside and had it thrown to the outside to Donald Driver. I think, you know, we get to the playoffs. I mean, you think about the 15-1 year where, you know, we knew that that defense had some problems, but they could score a lot of points and they could take away the football. But they gave up a lot of yards, and we knew that teams could get over the top, and that proved out to be. Listen, Chicago Bears still had their way at some point in the first half against this Green Bay Packers defense.
Right.
And that's concerning to me.
Nope, I 100% agree. Let's get to the phone calls. Let's get your reaction. The Packers get a win tonight, knock off the Bears. Let's go to Tim listening to us out in Phoenix, Arizona on the Radio.com app. Tim, how you doing tonight?
I am doing well, gentlemen. And Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a Super Bowl potential team because the NFC's down, but it's not a great team. Here's my question to you guys, and maybe you can help me understand this. I think the offensive line has been playing really well all year long, and they have guys go in and out, injuries, but the defensive line is nowhere near the offensive line. And my question is the offensive line playing that well because Adam Stenovich, I happen to be a Marshfield graduate, so I give a shout out to Adam. is it coaching from Adam? Is it because of LaFleur's scheme that anybody can, you know, excel? Or is it Gutekunst has got more talent there than maybe we gave him credit for? Well, why is the offensive line, but the defensive line doesn't develop? The defensive line doesn't do it, but the offensive line does. You've always said, Bill, the game's won in the trenches.
Right.
And the offensive line's getting it done, and they have injuries. Guys go in and out. Defensive line, God bless, we got the turnovers tonight, guys, because if we didn't get the turnovers, like Gary said, we weren't stopping them. So,
well, answer me this, though. Think about this. In this offseason, what did they do? They drafted some offensive linemen who panned out. Did they draft a defensive lineman? Did they go after, you know, highly accredited defenders today? Or this offseason in the draft? Not really.
So
they've done a pretty good job at drafting offensive linemen. They have not done a very good of a job at filling in on the defensive front. And the areas that we knew they needed, they did not address. Right?
And it shows because I mean, that gaping hole, the first, what, first play out of the box, second play out of the box, it's like, and I think what's going to happen is just what you said. We're going to get in the playoffs. It's going. I know we're all saying it, Packer fans, Gary's been saying it, but we're going to go and we're going to lose in the second round. Someone's going to pound the ball down our throat. We're all going to be screaming and going. So let me ask you, do you think more of it is the coaching, the scheme, or the talent on the offensive line why they play so well? Or is it kind of a combination? They're doing a really good job on all of it.
Well, I think it's the combination of both. I think they're doing a great job of coaching these guys up. But I think the offensive line is probably one of the best offensive lines in the game today. I think Elgton Jenkins, a guy that can go left tackle, left guard, right tackle, center. I mean, and play at a high level. There's not a lot of guys that can do that. So that speaks to how good he can play. Lucas Patrick can move all over the place. I mean,
boy, he played really well tonight.
Runyon is another guy, rookie, that they took that plays real well. Great pedigree. Dad played in the NFL for a long time, so he understands the game. So they've got a group of guys that can come in and play multiple positions and play them at a high level. But with all the misdirection, play fakes, those type of things, angles, I mean, they play well together. You saw them today, Bill, and they isolated a couple of these guys. They do well with the double teams. They climb up to the next level. They can get to the backers. And listen, that Chicago Bears front is a really, really good front. But I happen to think that the Bears defense is not what it used to be because they know that they don't have an offense that can keep up with Green Bay.
Right. Nope, I would agree with that. They look like they were just like, we give up. Doesn't matter what we do anyway. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Because they're going to get beat because they don't have an offense.
Yeah.
855-830-8648. Good stuff. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Marcus on the north side. Marcus, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. My only question is this. I thought the game was fine the way it was, but my only question is, Gary, I mean, why do the Packers think they're that good to take their foot off the gas? It looked like Mike McCarthy back in the day, just because you're up, and then they run three consecutive running plays. We're just going to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Oh, we feel we got the game in hand. This is the NFL. Anything can happen. Why do they do that? Well, I hate that. If you can score 50 or 100 points, Bill and Gary, why do the Packers play this dumb stuff? Can you explain that to me?
boy, I honestly don't. I look at it this way. I think the Packers are, as Gary stated, a really good team. When that offense is clicking, when you heard numerous times tonight where Tony Dungy said, really good play call, great play design. It's like they really stayed with what has been their bread and butter. They did a lot of misdirection. You had, and much like you just alluded to when you talk about Lucas Patrick played extremely well, Elkton Jenkins played extremely well. When you've got your offensive line winning in the trenches, even though Akeem Hicks wasn't there and they made a big deal about that tonight, you know, look, one guy does not a defense make, and this is a pretty good defensive front. So when you stick with what gets you there, when you're running the misdirection, when you're running not necessarily jet sweeps, but you're putting guys in motion, you're doing, and Gary, you know, you saw a lot of guys, you know, everybody will go to your right, and then one guy will veer out to the left after, you know, kind of a light chip block. They sell it really well. Aaron Rodgers sells it really well. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got a guy like Tanyan open in the end zone. They stuck with what got them there, and they ran the ball tonight. They committed to the run tonight, which is not something that they do consistently, but they committed to the run tonight. When you look at the carries, you had 34 carries between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams tonight. They ran the football. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers only threw the ball. He threw it under 30 times, only 29 times tonight. When they stick with what kind of gets them there and they stick with that game plan and they get up, that's the key thing. When they get up and their defense can play a little bit from behind, play a little bit looser, get a couple of stops, get a couple of scores ahead, everything seems to flow for this team. When they get beat, it's by teams that keep up with them or take a lead over them, and then it seems they get tight. And the defense plays different. The offense plays different. Aaron seems like he's every possession is important. He's got to score a touchdown, got to go to Devontae. And if things get out of sorts tonight, nothing got out of sorts because they had the flow of the game in their favor.
No, I would agree with you, Bill. That's exactly how it goes down. And then the defense gets exposed because now teams can line up and run the football against us. They can control the clock. And so that's what ends up happening to this team when it's a close game or that they get down. They press a little bit more on offense, you're right. And then the defense is what it is. It becomes exposed because other teams can come in and run the football on us.
855-830-8648. Time now for the first score of the game. And this was an easy one because the Packers were up and down the damn field all night long. But the first score of the game brought to you by our good friends when it comes to the first score, Scholze Family Beef, because you're scoring some beef with Scholze Family Beef. Go to Scholze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. Devontae Adams into the end zone. Here it is.
19. Inside where 19. Kyle Fuller is. Third and 10. Here is Rodgers with time. A bunch of it. End zone shot. Adams goes up and gets it. Touchdown, Green Bay. Sixth game in a row for Adams with a touchdown.
Mike Tirico on the call tonight from Sunday Night Football on NBC. So there you have it. That's your first score of the game. Again, brought to you by Scholze Family Beef, providing high-quality pasture-raised beef for three generations to their Wisconsin family farm, to your family table. And you can check out their selection. Place your order today at Scholze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. That is ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. 855-830-8648. This one is from Jack, who says he thinks the Packers are better than what we're giving them credit for. He says we're coming down too hard on this team. Do you think we're coming down too hard on the team, or we just I look at it as we're just talking about reality here, right?
Yeah, we're just being realistic of this team, the way it looks. But you know what? What we're talking about, it looks like a lot of other teams in the NFC right now. I think the AFC, to me, is head and shoulders above what the NFC is playing right now. So, but we're looking at a Packer team that's traditionally played like this over the last 28 years. I mean, there's enough sample size here to look at the Packers and go, yeah, I've seen this before.
This one's from Dave, who says they ain't winning blank. Okay, my question is,
I don't know,
are they not
that.
Winning the division? Are they not winning a playoff game? Are they not winning two? Are they not winning an NFC championship game? Are they not winning a Super Bowl?
They're winning the division.
They'll win the division.
That's already.
Probably going to win a postseason game.
But it all depends on who it is. I mean, you have to see what that matchup is. I mean, you have to. Listen, I know the Rams lost today, but I like their defense versus our defense. Seattle's defense gives up a lot of points. So if they come to Lambeau Field, I like our chances against Seattle. If Arizona comes here, man, if Kyler Murray is right, they may score 50, Bill. It'll be a shootout. I mean, you're looking at a lot of these teams where you feel like our defense is going to have to match the opposing team's defense, meaning that, like, you saw you saw the game against Minnesota where we scored, they scored, we scored, they scored, and our defense couldn't get a stop. It's going to come down to when the other opposing team defense gets a stop and then their offense goes down and scores, then it turns into what you just explained, Bill. Mm-hmm. Now we're down. Now we're pressing, and now the other team can run the football. I mean, that's basically the Indianapolis Colts game. Although we were up, they came out in the second half and go, you know what? Let's just get back to the run game and see if we can gash them. And they did, and we had no answer for it.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Go ahead and give us a shout. We'd love to hear from you. And if you got a reaction to this contest, positive, negative, doesn't matter what it happens to be, give us your thoughts as the Packers knock off the Bears 41-25 and the score nowhere near as indicative as the actual outcome of this thing. It was a dominating performance by the Green Bay Packers. It was a butt whooping. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. A lot more of the Green Gold Post Game Show. He's Gary Ellison. I'm Bill Michaels. We'll be back right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. From the line of scrimmage to the end zone, what was the drive of the game? It's time for the Chevy Drive of the Game. Find what's next. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or WisconsinDrivesChevy.com.
41-25, the final. The Packers knock off the Chicago Bears in dominating fashion tonight at Lambeau Field. In the drive of the game, Alan Lazard, good to see him back into the mix, catches this 2-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers.
First and goal, Green Bay. Jones, Rodgers backpedals, puts it up top. Touchdown, Green Bay.
That is so unbelievable, Mike.
Alan Lazard with a leap to no one.
There you go. That capped off a 13-play, 80-yard drive, taking off 7 minutes, 50 seconds. It put the Packers up 20-3. And then after that, Preston Smith gets the 14-yard fumble, scoop, and score. And then it was all of a sudden real quick, 27-3, and the Packers really never looked back after that. So that one put it pretty much away. That is your drive of the game. And the drive of the game brought to you by your Chevy dealers. Check out what's new in the 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealers at WisconsinDriveChevy.com. WisconsinDriveChevy.com. So, I guess, Gary, the one thing that I'm saying here, and I think people are misconstruing, is that we're complaining about the Packers. We're not saying that they're going to win a Super Bowl. We're not saying they're not. I mean, there's nothing special here. The bottom line is, if you feel they're going to win a Super Bowl, great. That's
you're
awesome.
Right.
But we've seen this before, and I think until they actually do,
right.
That's why there's so many people that are going, show me something that's more dynamic other than the offense, because we've seen this story before.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. we've been down this road before with the Packers team. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's the same people that are saying that would say, hey, go out and get me Kenny Stills right now. He's available. And then you just have to pay the remainder of his salary for the rest of the year. Make a move like that. The Dunlap kid that goes over to the Seattle Seahawks defensive line. He comes in a week or so ago and get two sacks, and his last sack wins the game for. Go get me a guy like that for a sixth-round pick. You see the holes on the defensive line. You know what it is. It's not going to get any better. Those guys are not going to get any better on the defensive line. You know what that looks like.
Yep.
So you just, I guess, in the haste to try to build a perfect team, and that's never going to happen, but you can see deficiencies in this team. I mean, much like we saw the, and I didn't want to believe it, 15-1 season, I didn't want to believe it. I thought that was a Super Bowl team, but we knew that they gave up a lot of points.
Right.
And when you have a defense that's given up a lot of yards and a lot of points, it just makes you a little queasy in the stomach. Well, it makes me queasy in the stomach.
That year we saw that when Romeo Crennel smashed them in the mouth of the line of scrimmage from Kansas City.
Yes.
And we knew what he would – and that was the blueprint. Because we had asked the question at the time, is this the blueprint to beat the Packers? And it turned out to be, because that's exactly what New York did when they came into Lambeau Field. Hey, real quick, the injury report. Thank God it's a short one tonight. Nothing major, and we hope that Corey Linsley is back. But the injury report brought to you by Tayback Law. Veterans, if you feel you've been wrongfully denied any benefits, contact Tayback for the payback at TaybackAttorneys.com. He had Corey Linsley go down. He had the knee injury. He got rolled up on and just went down. Mm-hmm. And then, what was it? I think it was Lucas Patrick ended up having the toe. He had the toe injury. But
did Savage go out of that game too?
I saw him go down, but I thought he came back. Yeah. Lazard got hit, and he ended up going down. But he bounced back and came back after that vicious hit that he took. And it was just a good, solid football play, but he took a vicious hit. So, but they came back. So in this one, you only had a couple of guys leave the game. And that's your injury report brought to you by Tayback Law. Tayback for the payback. Go to Tayback Attorneys, T-A-B-A-K attorneys.com. That's Tayback Attorneys. .com. Let's go to Dan listening to us in Racine real quick. Dan, how you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Gary, you hit it right on the head just now. It all depends on the management. You got guys out there now. You got to go get them. You got to get Kenny Stills in. You got to, because the wide receiver thing is kind of, I don't know, a question mark after Devontae. Lazard's not proven. Nobody's on this team that's proven in a wide receiver spot for me. So you got to go make some moves, and it's going to be up to them. Do we just want the NFC North, or is it going to be, you know, you got to do what Ron Wolf did, and that's all I got. I mean, this is kind of like they should have won it, they did win it, and it's kind of one of those games. So, guys, have a good night.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
I'm not going to fault them for doing exactly what they're supposed to do, though, either.
No.
You know?
No.
You can't do that.
No.
You can't be upset because they won the ball game doing exactly what they were supposed to do.
I don't think
there's any surprises.
Is. Right.
I think what's disappointing is people are saying, well, Mitch Trubisky moved the ball. Well, okay. But, I mean, like I said, when you're watching on third down and 7 and your defensive backs are playing 12 yards deep, you know, all they're trying to do is not let anybody get behind them. Now, I don't agree with it. You know, this is the fire petting reason, but – you could clearly see what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They were just like, look, we can beat the hell out of this team. Let's just keep everything in front of us. Make them go on long drives that chew up clock. And they did twice, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
14 plays, 87 yards. And then they did another one with 13 plays, 65 yards they had to go. 15 plays, 82 yards, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 9 minutes. I mean, the defense basically just held them off. That's all they did. Let's do this. We got about another hour yet to go. And then after that, don't forget Radio Joe Zanzola's got Green and Gold OT going to the 1 a.m. hour Central Time. Stick around. We got a lot more of the Green and Gold postgame show. Packers going to win 41-25. More right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Fire. 41-25, the final. The Green Bay Packers, they knock off the Chicago Bears, and the score nowhere near indicative as to what the Packers actually did to the Chicago Bears. They dominated them throughout this game, specifically the Packers' offense. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, go ahead and do it. Again, 855-830-8648. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And there is a lot of consternation over on Twitter. I don't know, if Gary, if you're getting it as well, but a lot of people unhappy that Packers fans are unhappy. I guess in the rivalry game, getting the 100th win against the Chicago Bears and maybe putting the nail in Ryan Pace's and Matt Nagy's coffin, that there's a lot of satisfaction there tonight. Maybe you just revel in that rather than saying, what does this win for the Packers actually mean? It means they beat the Bears. They beat them handily. Mitch Trubisky is who we thought he was. Their defense is good. It's not great. And they beat up on a decent defense. Beyond that, I don't think there's much more you take away from this game, maybe. Maybe you just look at it and say, it's a win, and you just move on, right?
Yeah, I mean, you do. But here's the bill. Here's the deal, Bill. They drafted Jordan Love, and that started the clock ticking for Aaron Rodgers of how long he's going to be here. Now, for me, I'm not speaking about Packer fan because I always say Packer fan. Let's speak for me. So you started the clock on Rodgers for how long he's going to be here. So that tells me that we need to get a Super Bowl here in the next 2-3 years. How are we going to do it? We've seen all this before. And if this is going to come to an end, because if you look at the NFL, it's about quarterback play. And if you don't have good quarterback play, then you got to have a really good defense like San Francisco had last year, but doesn't still guarantee you to be. I mean, San Francisco, Garoppolo, what, threw the ball 8 times last year in the NFC Championship game? That's how good their defense is. We don't have a good defense. So now you know it's about Aaron Rodgers and his offense scoring a bunch of points like we've always seen. And you and I'm thinking to myself, if he's getting ready to leave, is this team good enough to win a Super Bowl? Because this is all could be over in 3 to 4 years. Over.
That's the reason I think when, at least when I think
that's
about
the
it.
Angst.
Right.
When
I think about it, I think that's why you're kind of looking at this going, at what point do you go all in? Or at least try to hedge your bets to say we are a team that not only, you know, that we're ready to go for a Super Bowl. We really believe we're there. And I think to a lot of people that, and we've been down this road, that a lot of people, the organization said, yeah, they're good, but we're not worried necessarily about the here and the now. We're worried about maybe tomorrow. And if we get to the this is why people say they're happy with just getting to the postseason. Taking our money, making sure that all these Packers fans line up for season tickets, and if somebody doesn't take the season ticket, then off to the next guy who wants the season ticket, and they're just happy with getting to the postseason. And I don't buy that either, because they never want to lose out and not get to the postseason. That
no,
I agree with,
because that's money,
right? But I think of this and I say, if they do go for it and they win a Super Bowl, that year and the year after are huge boons for the Green Bay Packers if they stay viable. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. If you're just happy with the win over the Bears, then be happy with the win over the Bears.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
We're not saying that you can't be. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, be happy with that.
There's not all if tonight's, I guess if you are a Super Bowl or bust person, what did tonight's win against the Bears in dominating fashion tell you? Or does it matter? I mean, that's the argument. Because some people say, well, Packers fans aren't happy that stinks. Well, okay. Then tell me what you think, other than just complaining about Packers fans who complain. Do you just, is it no big deal? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. If you guys want to chime in, go ahead and do so. Let's get to the phone calls. Let's talk to Jim listening to us in Chicago on the radio.com app. Jim, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I mean, a night like this allows me to go to work this week and not have to worry about getting hassled. So in the short term, I'm really happy about that. I guess I'd like to talk, you know, a little bit about the defense. You know, I think when you look at our personnel, our defensive personnel is not, you know, world beaters per se. They're okay. Got a couple of nice players. But I guess I'd like to throw out there the question to everybody who's kind of on the fire Pettine bandwagon. And so you fire Pettine and who you bring in. And then I guess some of the chatter I've heard is you look at Madison, and they got Jimmy Leonard as the defensive coordinator. And I guess the thoughts of, would Jimmy Leonard as a defensive coordinator make that much of a difference with our guys that we have now, provided we can't get the personnel that we really need? And if so, is he the kind of, would he be willing to come to Green Bay and coordinate the defense?
Boy, two-part question. One is, if you don't have the talent, it doesn't matter who you throw in there. It's kind of, I've described it as, you know, if you have to get into a race with a bunch of other Corvettes and everybody else is driving around in a Corvette and you're driving around in a four-cylinder engine, doesn't matter if you're driving a Corvette or not, you're still not going to beat the Corvettes. So the personnel thing is a legit question. Now, when you say, would he be willing to come here? Gary, you know that program out there a little bit better than I do, but when I've talked to people either close to Jim or the program, they say he just loves it. Just loves being at UW. And his name's been talked about before, and before his name even got out there, he was saying, I'm staying at UW, I love UW. So I don't know if this is I don't know if it's a thing that he aspires to. Maybe it's because it's the Packers, maybe he'd consider it. But I think, one, you have to get a couple other guys, and two, you got to even see if he wanted to test the waters to go to Green Bay, because I know he's really happy at UW.
Right. I don't see him leaving for a pro gig unless it's just something super, super special for him. And I don't know if the Packers, it could be a special, I mean, a team for him. I don't know. He's from here. But he has it so good at UW, right where he's at. He's at his alma mater. They're winning games. Why go into this pressure cooker? I mean, he could stay there for the rest of his life and be the next head coach in waiting. I mean,
and does he want to take over for a guy he's friends with?
Right. Yeah. I don't feel like that this is what he wants to do at this moment in time right now.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Joe points this out to me too. I mean, I know those two guys were friends and they've got a history. He said that, don't forget, he played for Pettine for 6 years and he has a lot of Pettine defense in him. So if people think that Jim Leonard's the answer, remember, he played for Pettine. That's where he learned a lot of his defense. Very similar.
Well, they go up there. He used to go up there during the offseason, Bill, and hang out with Pettine and those guys and that coaching staff.
Right, exactly. Let's go to Tom listening to us in Eagle River. Tom, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, Bill and Gary. I've got actually two questions. One is defense and one is offense. You know, when we do our evaluations of the defense, I mean, does anyone ever come up with the idea that here are your best defensive players, and here are the people who are not? I mean, somehow you have to get the bottom of it. You know, it's like everything else in life. You have to evaluate and move on, and the same thing is with Pettine. My second question, Bill, is one that you've talked about a few times on your show. You have made the comment that Jordan Love is not the answer to Green Bay's next quarterback. I mean, I don't know if any of us have ever seen 11 games where a first-round draft choice is not even suited up, or is not active, you know, and he was inactive tonight. I mean, it seems to me, if he's not your quarterback for the future, why don't you at least put a uniform on him, dangle him out there? Maybe we get a trade for him, and if he's not the guy, but maybe we don't know if he's the guy because he just hasn't had a chance to really do anything because Aaron's playing at such a high level. So I'll listen, Bill, to you and Gary, and I guess with the defense, I'm tired of hearing that it's personnel, but I watched Christian Kirksey tonight. Man, the guy is soft. He's tackling a guy up around the shoulder pads, and then David Montgomery drags him for another 5 yards, and the other time Kirksey held the tight end in the end zone, gave up, he was called for holding, and that allowed the Bears to score. I mean, against the Titans, where they've got Derrick Henry, we don't stand a chance, perhaps, with his defense, and I don't know if there's another option at middle linebacker. Thanks.
Boy, the other thing, great point. And the other thing, if you watch Raven Green dive at two guys tonight and just come up and whiff. Poor, I mean, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He played well early, made a couple of plays, and had his name called. Mm-hmm. But later in the ballgame, oh, my God. Raven Green was tackling air. It was pathetic. So as much as, again, you want to talk about scheme, if guys go out and they're in the position to make a play and they don't because of poor tackling, you can yell at – that's not scheme. You can yell at coaches all you want. Tackling is a will. Tackling is a will and a want to.
You look at but you look at certain teams, Bill, defensively, let's say like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they build their team according to what they like to do. Like, I mean, they're the Chicago Bears is another one. They build their defense towards guys that kind of have that swagger about them that's just going to go lay the wood. The Packers just have never really done that. I mean, maybe Leroy Butler's team, but then that's the last team I can remember that was just truly physical on the defensive side of football, with Reggie White, Sean Jones. I mean, that front, Santana Dotson, Gilbert Brown, I mean, that front was absolutely incredible. George Koontz, I mean, those guys were lay the wood. But after that, I don't know if I've seen a team defensively where you kind of fear them. Maybe the game has changed. I mean, we started going to this nickel and dime, and then it was all about covering guys, and so you lost some of that. But there's still some teams, the Ravens, there's still some teams in the NFL today where they draft according to what their signature is. And I just don't think the Packers have never been able to do that.
We'll get back to his question about the offense and about – and I do want to get into that because I do want to get into his discussion. But let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break because we're late. We got to come back, and we'll get back into that. We'll get back into your phone calls, your emails, your tweets, all that kind of good stuff. Stay tuned. Packers going to win 41-25, knocking off the Bears. Don't forget, coming up after the midnight hour, it's going to be Radio Joe Zanzola with Green and Gold OT. Stick around. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you gotta stick. And sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com.
Hit of the game brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. This was an easy one because it was the Smith brothers doing what the Smith brothers used to do, and that was Zadarius and Preston. He got the hit. Yeah. Preston got the scoop.
Now it's 3rd and 17. Another big rush from Gary. Trubisky lost the ball. It's scooped by Preston Smith, who takes it in for the Green Bay defensive touchdown.
And there you go. And that is Mike Tirico from NBC on the call. And give Rashawn Gary a nod on that as well, because he was putting pressure, bringing it up on the outside, because Zeke came up the gut and Preston was on the outside. So good stuff by the Smith brothers tonight on the scoop and score. And we saw a lot of that kind of stuff last year and had a lot of success. And you're just looking for more of that this year, specifically out of Preston Smith, who's having a bit of a down season. Why do you think Preston Smith is having a statistical down season, Gary?
Well, I think they're using him differently, obviously, because we saw last week they had him in coverage. They're dropping him in coverage a lot more than they did last year. That was kind of Fackrell's role last year. So you're seeing some of that. And just maybe the pandemic during the offseason really hurt him too a little bit. I mean, a lot of people don't know how that plays on your mind. So I think maybe he's rounding in his shape and starting to, you know, put it on and play a little bit better. You see Rashawn Gary the last two or three weeks is now coming on. He's starting to play a little bit better. And so you've got that package right now where you have both Smith brothers and Gary in on obvious passing situation. And, you know, all three of those guys, Bill, can play with their hand in the dirt or standing up. So, I mean, you just hope that the offense can keep scoring points, and that's their strong suit. I think that's their best defense, and they can get those guys on the field at the same time.
Let's go to our buddy Al listening to us in Philadelphia. Al, how you doing tonight, man? What's going on? What you thinking?
How you guys doing? I'm kind of like neutral about this game. Like, it hasn't really moved the needle too much. We did what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
You only can play the people that's on your schedule, who was in front of you. So I don't understand why people are upset. Like, I mean, we could have went out there and it could have been much more competitive than what it was. Like, we came out there, put our foot on their throat, and pretty much, like, put a pedal to the metal for majority of the night. On the defensive end, like you guys say, we say it every week. It's just like their reoccurring theme. I just don't understand if it's third and long, why are you much more, like, you're way past the sticks and you're basically just giving up, like, third downs or first downs, rather. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand that. It's just beyond me. Like, I mean, do Mike Pettine think that our defense or defensive backs or whatever are that bad to whereas they're going to get beat? Or, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like, I just remember when Packers teams or just defensive teams in general, they used to have pride to, like, hold the team to 3 points or don't let them score at all. It's just like, okay, let's just make it out of here without a bunch of injuries. And if they score a couple times, then so be it. You just go back to this soft prevent defense. But I had a question, though. It was a caller a little while back that mentioned about management and Mike Pettine and the personnel. So my question to you guys, when it comes down to certain players or personnel on the team, does Mike Pettine have a say into who they bring in, or does he have, like, you know, like, for instance, he'll talk to Gruden, Kuss, or whoever, and he'll say, well, I want this type of player. Could you possibly get me this type of player? Or does it all fall on Gruden, Kuss, and he just says, hey, we need this guy, you work with him? Because I'm just curious to know, because somebody has to say something about the personnel that we have. We got some players in certain positions, but like you guys said, that defensive line needs to be shored up. We had an opportunity to do that, and we dropped the ball with that. I think our backside is pretty good, but that front line is just Kenny Clark and some guys. So I just wanted y'all take on that, man. Thanks for the time.
No, I appreciate it as always. So Gary, you you've been there. You've been in locker rooms. I mean, coaches have. It's not necessarily a say in who they're going to choose, but maybe they'll say this is the position we need to upgrade.
Well, here's what we know in years past under Ted Thompson. Ted Thompson was the grand poopah of everything, all of scouting department, and it felt like that the coaching staff had no say. Don Capers had no say. Mike McCarthy had no say. It feels like under Brian Gutekunst that the defensive players have say. I mean, the defensive coaches have say. We heard this, and we heard that the Smith brothers, that the defensive coaches were in on getting the Smith brothers here to Green Bay. We also heard that Rashawn Gary was liked a lot by some guys in the defensive meeting room, and they were running down the hall, high-fiving, and said, we got our guys. So it feels like it has turned in Green Bay, where Brian is actually – asking or communicating with the coaches on players that they are drafting. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to draft the player, but it feels like there's some sort of communication open more so than in years past.
I think, you know, sometimes you hear about a coach saying, I need this. Remember, Ted Thompson famously went down to Dom Capers and said, what do you need? Dom said, look, I need it up the gut. I need a good center. I need a good safety. I need a good linebacker. I need one good cover corner. You know, and I'll win you with a lot of games. And, you know, he went out and got him. He got you B.J. Raji. He got you Beef up front. He got you Clay Matthews. You already had A.J. Hawk. You got a good guy in Nick Collins who was on his way to a Hall of Fame career. And then you got, obviously, Charles Woodson. So that's what you got. And then with that, they eventually evolved around them. And Charles was the leader. And they go off and have a really top-ranked defense, but more so in turnovers than just in getting the stops, so to speak. And they get off the field, and they end up winning a championship. But yeah, I don't know how. I mean, my assumption is it's kind of the same, that, you know, they'll say, okay, what do you need? The coaches evaluate the players, who's excelled, who's not, who's maybe doing it at practice, who isn't doing it on the field, and then, you know, you make your cuts, you make your evaluations, whatever it's going to be. Right. But I, I think it's collective. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just Brian Gutekunst sitting up there with binoculars going, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
855-830-8648. By the way, some good news. We're going to hear from Matt LaFleur coming up, but he talked about Corey Linsley and basically said that he was worried about him, but not a season-ending injury. That he does know.
Good.
So that's good news.
Good.
So after he got rolled up on from behind and ended up going down and had that kind of, you know, from behind leg injury. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll come back. We're going to start hearing some pressers. Got Aaron Rodgers. We got Matt LaFleur. We're going to hear from Mike Clemens coming up hopefully as well before we get out of here. And then don't forget, coming up after the top of the hour, Joe Zanzola is going to go another hour with Green and Gold OT. Packers get a dominating win, 41-25. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And then jumps to the NFL. But Rodgers was already here, so you have to have an open mind to work together. Rodgers flips his hips, flips it downfield, wide open, Tunyon, touchdown, Packers.
Left, yep.
39 yards to Robert Tunyon.
Packers get a win, 41-25. The final, they go to 8-3 on the season. Looking at it in perspective, when you look at the NFC right now, I mean, just the conference itself, I mean, the Packers right now, they're still one of the better teams, if you will. They're only behind the New Orleans Saints. Packers are 8-3. The Saints are 9-2 with the win again today. Tampa Bay 7-5. Seattle 7-3, coming back from their bye. You got the Rams who are at 7-4, and don't count out that San Francisco team who got a win over the Rams today. How about that?
Right, right.
You know, and the Minnesota Vikings. Boy, I tell you what, I was kind of surprised they ended up. They ended up getting the win. The Panthers gave them all they wanted. I mean, that Panthers game still may end up being a tough one for the Green Bay Packers, but Panthers missing a last-second field goal that would have won the game, and the Vikings held on, though, to get their fifth win. So that's kind of how the NFC shakes out right now. So if I'm – look, and I am a Packers fan, but if I'm a Packers fan, I'm sitting out there going at Super Bowl or bust, I think you got a good shot. I'm not saying you know – look, Tampa Bay's defense beat them up. We saw that. They beat up a pretty good New Orleans team. So when Tom Brady or when Drew Brees comes back, how much better will New Orleans be, and how much stock can you put into the second game of the season? But it's a win. Seattle's defense has flaws. L.A. has flaws. Arizona, I just don't think they're ready to win at all just yet. San Francisco, obviously, they've been banged up, and they've got some flaws as well. So does Minnesota. They're a good team, but not a great team. Chicago's sitting at 5-7. Chicago's the same record right now with 5-6, a game under 500, as Minnesota and San Francisco. So those teams are all still trying to keep themselves in the hunt for the wild card. There's nothing that says right now that the Green Bay Packers are a bad football team, but if you're thinking just strictly Super Bowl or bust, you're thinking of more reasons why they're going to get beat. And, yes, I can agree that the defense is not top-notch, but you get an offense that gets up a couple of scores, and maybe you get lucky with a turnover or two, you're going to win that ball game, because I think the Packers are good enough to do that. 855-830-8648. Yeah, I mean, that's what you look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be good. You got to be healthy. You got to get hot. You got to be lucky. And if you get all those things going in your direction, you're going to go far. You're going to end up finding yourself in a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media and had a lot to say about his head coach, Matt LaFleur. We got to take a listen to this. It's brought to you by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they always pay green for your gold. Go to Robert Hack, H-A-A-C-K, RobertHackDiamonds.com. That's RobertHackDiamonds.com. Here's the quarterback. So there you go. That was Aaron Rodgers after the ballgame. A lot of praise for his head coach. Beautifully drawn up game plan. Used adjectives. Got us into a rhythm. Got us into a flow. Great call. Wonderful game plan. Wonderful week. On and on and on. Man, really gushing over his head coach. So good stuff coming from Aaron Rodgers. Let's do this. We'll step away. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens up in Green Bay, live from Lambeau Field. We'll chat with him coming up next. Don't forget, also coming up after the top of the hour, the Green and Gold OT. Radio Joe Zanzola going to take you until 1 a.m. Central Time. Stay tuned. More of the Green and Gold postgame show after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Now it's
third and 17. Another big rush from Gary. Trubisky lost the ball. It's scooped by Preston Smith, who takes it in for the Green Bay defensive touchdown.
Everything was just happening so fast on the field. It's my job to hang on to the football. I got to do that. As far as calls go, I never comment on that. I know those guys, everyone's human just like us. I mean, but my job is to hang on to the football. I got to do that.
Still hasn't done it extremely well, and that is Mitch Trubisky after the ball game tonight. 41-25, the Packers get a win. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson alongside. And now we hear from a Mike Clemens at Lambeau Field. Michael, what's the sentiment there as the Packers get the 100th win over the Bears?
Well, you know, defense had a couple of plays that they could be happy about. Young Darnell Savage, the second pick that he got in this game, was just another Trubisky air ball, just hanging there. But the first one, of course, was the Bears making some moves and then, you know, driving and looked like they were going to score, and Trubisky trying to throw into the end zone. And Darnell Savage comes up with a pick, and he talked about that after the game.
We actually, we actually got that same play earlier in the year. And, you know, offense is like people always say, it's a copycat league. So stuff that works, teams are going to find a way to get back to it. So, you know, I just happened to – I had a feeling that they was going to take a shot. And when I turned and I seen the ball was in the air, I just tried to run as fast as I could and get under it. So it ended up working out.
And then, you know, the defense came up with that forced fumble and scoop and score. Now, some of the replay shows that maybe Trubisky was face masked a couple times on that play. You know, the David Montgomery run up the middle early in the game off left tackle for about 57 yards has you going, uh-oh. But, you know, in the meantime, it was all offense. It's Aaron Rodgers, 50,000 yards, career 11th NFL quarterback to do so, four touchdowns, quarterback rating like 135. It just goes on and on. And Aaron Rodgers says the reason that we beat our rivals tonight, 41-25, was because of our head coach, Matt LaFleur.
I just feel like he's settled into his role as head coach. Him and I have been really on the same page all season. There's this just a beautiful trust that I think has blossomed even more this year between him and I. And I think that's an important part of us being successful is the QB and the coach calling and being on the same page. And then, you know, obviously we've had a number of guys give more of themselves, guys that we talk about every single week, you know, Jamal Williams, Alan Lazard doing the little things and playing super heady. Marquez, you know, in his role. And he'll be disappointed. You know, he didn't have a big role in the passing game. But he's an incredibly important part of our offense. And then how good Devontae is. I mean, he's incredible. And Aaron Jones. So it's been fun to see it all come together. When you have, and I've said this before as well, when you have guys who have specific roles and they embrace them, there's no better way to get a guy to buy in than that. And I think we've done a great job at that, whether it's Mercedes or Jamal Williams or Alan Lazard or Robert Tonyan or Jay Sternberger, Billy Turner, Elvin Jenkins. You know, guys embracing what they have to do and giving their all.
And, you know, if the Bears had a chance at this game tonight, guys, it would have been their defense that was dominating the field and creating the turnovers. And yet you've got Tony Dungy in the NBC booth tonight saying, look at these missed tackles. That's a team that's given up. Well, now they're 5-6. Trubisky's got some turnovers. You don't see Khalil Mack and the rest of those guys really making big plays as the game wore on. And so after the game, Matt Nagy has to explain where they're at now at 5-6.
When you lose and you lose five in a row, you are getting challenged big time. And what's easy to do, the easy way, is to just start pointing fingers and just saying it's not my fault. That's what it's easy to do. Unfortunately, there's too many right now. There's a lot to do that, and so we're not, and we're gonna fight. And I thought that, you know, again, our message in that locker room at the very end, and that's I'm gonna keep it internal with us, was very good. And so we're not going to point fingers. We're not going to blame. We're going to line up and play the next game that they allow us to play. And we freaking go and we fight for each other.
So Mitchell Trubisky gets the starting job. Some people thought that maybe Nick Foles should have been benched anyway, despite the injury. Now, he's been out since week three, Trubisky has. But, you know, this was the guy, of course, that they were going to build this franchise around offensively. He finishes tonight with a quarterback rating of 74.7, two picks, the three touchdowns, and the garbage time at the end. But listen to this question for Mitchell Trubisky just a couple of minutes ago in the Bears postgame.
Mitch, do you think you played well enough to justify starting next week?
I don't know. It was tough, like I said, just because of the turnovers early on and then being in a hole. There was a lot of excitement being back, just being back in the huddle and being back with the offense throughout this week. And I think myself and the offense, we had kind of this expectation or picture of what we thought could happen going into this game. And it just didn't go that way from the get-go. And so things like that happen sometimes. But I don't know. It's not my call. I just try to, like I said, put my best foot forward every single day. The chips will lie where they are.
I don't know if I should start next week.
Yeah, I guess the quarterback carousel continues, and you're talking about 36 of them when the Packers have basically have had Favre and Rodgers. So
yeah. You know, Jim McMahon would have never said that. I don't know if I should start next week. It's like, do you want the job or not? But, you know, when you're behind that offensive line, maybe you're not sure.
Right. Maybe you don't really want to go back there. Mike, good stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, Bill.
See you, pal. There you go. That brings us to the MVP of the game, brought to you by Van Horn Automotive. And Gary, I'm sitting here listening to all of this, and I don't know about you. Do you have a thought on an MVP?
You know, it was spread around, you know, pretty much, right? But, did Preston Smith, was there a sighting?
There was a Preston Smith sighting, and all I keep hearing about is the coach. Do we give it to Matt LaFleur for the plan that he put in place today
Fine.
In the execution?
Was, I don't know if you ever talked about Mike McCarthy like this.
Right. Maybe we give it to the head coach, Matt LaFleur, our Van Horn Automotive MVP, brought to you by the Van Horn Automotive Group, locations throughout Wisconsin and Iowa. Family-born, employee-owned. Go to VanHornAuto.com. Gary, good stuff as always, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you again next week. Radio Joe Zanzola with Green and Gold OT coming up next. Packers get a win, 41-25. They go to 8-3, and they knock off the rival Bears for the 100th win in the contest. There you have it. Time for us to go. Have a good one. Boop.
Sixteen stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.